Being a soulmate is about more than roses and romance, though that's certainly part of the story. Laughter, tears, joys, compromises, lows and highs are all landmarks of traveling the road of life together. Join us as we explore this magnificent journey on Soulmate Stories. Welcome to Soulmate Stories. I'm Jim.
I'm Dar.
So glad to talk with you once again.
Yes.
And if you like the show, please rate and review, subscribe, or follow wherever you listen. It's so important because we're trying to get this show off the ground with its new format. And let us know what you think. I'd love to hear a little more feedback, Dar. It's been a little bit quiet.
It has been a little quiet. I think it might be good maybe to talk about a couple of the other ideas we had for those that are too shy to come on and tell their story.
Yeah, I think what we might be, let us know what, I'm not going to set this up
no.
now, but let us know what you think about the idea of us having stories, incorporating those again, but just have them be written stories, because that way it'll work better with the flow of the show. In other words, we're not going to go back to just stories. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think we could do more incorporating stories. But maybe the answer is just some letters to the editor, so to speak.
Right, right. Well, we were thinking, you know, maybe people don't feel comfortable sharing.
Right.
You know, I don't want to talk on there, and I don't want everybody to know how I met somebody,
yeah.
or, you know.
Because we do it for the campfire, but I think that's different. I think people are a
yes.
little more, you know, they're a little more private about these kind of things.
Their personal
maybe
relationships, yeah.
And I understand that. So you could even write in and use a pseudonym if you
for
wanted
sure.
to.
For sure, absolutely. And we'll just kind of read
mine
your story.
Would be,
and
mine would be Engelbert.
Oh, okay. I thought yours would be Fetish.
Fetish. Oh, yeah, that I have.
I hate to tell you guys, Jim has a fetish. It's a huge fetish, and it's annoying me.
I'm practicing it right now.
Yeah, he is. And it gets under my skin.
I'm so annoyed. Should I tell him? You think I should?
Go ahead. Reveal the fetish.
I have a mic fetish. I'm talking.
Are you going to believe this, people? Wait.
I'm talking on my latest mic, a new
another
one.
Another mic? Yesterday. Oh, my God.
Well, the thing is this,
mm.
the listeners need to know, you need to know listening, that I'm always looking to serve you better. And I am looking for the perfect sound. So,
I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because perfect doesn't exist.
But better.
Okay. We can in your mind's eye, I don't know.
Continuous improvement. We can always improve. So, for you tech heads out there, for years I used what's called a dynamic microphone. Now I'm using a condenser, which is a little more sensitive. It gives a little more crispness to the voice. What do you think of that?
That's great. Mm-hmm. One more mic, Jim. Just one more.
One. Never mind.
You all out there will be housing my husband. There won't be any room for him to be in here because there'll be too many mics.
I want to tell her something. When I ordered it, I ordered two different ones. I've decided not to open the other one and send it back.
Gosh.
It's sitting over there in a box.
Great.
Because I like this one so much.
Oh, that's good. Until you don't. Until like another month from now, I don't sound crisp enough. It's not right. I need another mic. I need balance. You need some balance
in all quadrants of my life. And you know what we're going to talk about today?
Yes. What are we talking about today?
There's a new book out. It's called Quadrant Life: Balancing Relationships, Finances, Wellness, and Your Spiritual Life.
Sounds great.
And on the line, we have Lori Dennis, and she is the author of the book. And not only is she an author, she leads one of the top interior design firms in Los Angeles. She's an HGTV celebrity, TED speaker, best-selling author, and influencer in the design and organic lifestyle space. And she's been featured in a bunch of publications, everything from the Wall Street Journal to the New York Times to Architectural Digest. She's been on television, HGTV, Bravo, Food Network, NBC. It goes on and on. She's won many awards, and she lives in LA with her husband, daughter, a cat, and two chickens.
Yay!
Which I like. Lori Dennis, welcome to the program today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you strike me as a very busy person.
Yes. Yeah, busy people get things done,
That's right. You want something done, ask a busy person. So I guess my question to you is this. Why did you decide to branch out into authorship as opposed to just kind of sticking to, you know, being an interior designer and doing that thing very well and being very successful? What kind of got you into the idea of writing this book, Quadrant Life?
Well, I actually have another book that was very successful that was a little bit more in my space called Green Interior Design. And now right. We're in the second edition that'll come out this summer. So I won a lot of awards for the book. I was on bestseller lists, and it made a lot of difference for people in their lives. Having nobody said, you should write a book about this. I've since had so much success with my relationships and my finances and my businesses, and it looks like I've got it all figured out, I guess, to most people. So they kept saying, when are you going to write that book? So that's why I decided to take a quantum leap and write The Quantum Life.
Oh, cool. Very cool indeed.
Yeah.
Now, this show is Soulmate Stories, so we kind of focus on relationships, but I think all of this stuff plays into it, and it's all important, because how can you have a relationship if you're not happy?
Well, and it's also about a balance, and what she talks about in the book, what you're talking about is a balance between all these four areas of your life.
Now, Lori, quick question for you. It seems like you said you've got it all together. You're very successful. You have a relationship and all these great things. Did you always have it together, though? Was it a journey to get here?
Oh, my goodness. Was it a journey to get here? And that's one of the confessions that I make in the book. It's that I can really speak to how to find balance and success in all of these areas, because I was a hot mess. I had really terrible relationships with people and toxic relationships. And I've really transformed at this point in my life, and for many, many decades now, into identifying how to spot those horrible situations before they even start and sidestepping them.
So can you talk to us a little bit about what are the four quadrants?
Yes. So the four quadrants are going to be relationships, finance, wellness, and spirituality. And for many people, they have maybe three of those things going on. They look really good. They feel really good. They have great relationships with people, and they make a lot of money, and they're not happy. And it's because that one quadrant, the spirituality, the connection to something greater, the connection to a community, is not there, and they feel empty. Or it might be three other things or two other things that they have. So I think unless you have all four of those things kind of operating at optimal levels, you feel a little underwhelmed or a little overwhelmed or a little unsatisfied, and you're not really understanding the meaning of life, which is to enjoy every single second of it.
And then that's a question, because most people I meet, you know, they'll have one area, like they knock it out of the park. They've got a great career, but they don't have a soulmate. Or someone else will have a relationship and a great career, but they're maybe not as fit as they should be. I'll raise my hand on that one. I mean, it seems like most people, quote, have something where life is short. But you're saying that it's possible to, in a way, have it all.
It really is possible, and it's really not that difficult. And I reread my book every time I talk to somebody about it. And anytime I feel a little lacking in one of the areas, I reread the book, and it's just so simple. I can read it through in, like, you know, 40 minutes. And I go, oh my gosh, it really is this simple. It's just tweaking these things. And a lot of it is about the attitude that you have and the decisions you make and the responsibility you take for those decisions that'll lead you on to the right path.
Right. I mean, there was a part in your introduction that just spoke to me. I'm thinking, wow, this is my motto, and I made it my motto a couple years ago. But you say deciding to be happy is a choice that you must make, and it's one that you have to make every day.
That's it. we all get in gray spots.
You yes. know,
I wrote this book, and sometimes I wake up and I'm on the wrong side of the bed, and I got to stop myself in my tracks. And maybe it's somebody else who's close to me that's like, hey, you're being funky. Or I might say to a friend, you know, hey, you got some bad aura coming off of you. You might, and you know, you just make a decision to stop, think about the things that you're grateful for and that you have, instead of coming from a place of lack and what you don't have.
It's interesting to me that as you separate this out, the first part of the book was about relationships. Was there a specific reason you chose that to be first?
I think that relationships are probably the most important quadrant. And we all have this desire, this just universal desire to be connected to each other. And I think that connection, that desire for connection is even more powerful than food or shelter. If you think about a child who's in danger, you'll put your life in, you know, on the line for that person, for that relationship. Or if your kid was hungry, you would give them food before you would eat. So I started with relationships because I think that they're the most important quadrant to really get situated. And once you situate them, you have this source around you and you have this confidence and you have this ability to be able to tackle all the other things a little bit easier.
Now you talk about emotional DNA the emotional DNA. That's interesting because you think about DNA about in terms of your physical aspects and traits and so forth. But what I never thought about emotional DNA. What is that?
Emotional DNA is, if you think about DNA, it's, you know, the strands that you're born with that determine who you are, the physiological strands. But the emotional DNA are the things you've been told, the way you've been brought up, your ideas about relationships that you've learned from teachers that you've had, the way they've treated you, the way your parents or maybe didn't have any parents, you know, the way that people interacted around you, the messages that you learned from the TV shows you watched, all these things that came in and told you about how you act, how you look, how your finances should be, or maybe there was no education about those things. All of these things make up who you are and your ideas about your own reality. So if you have some really positive and strong, powerful people and experiences early on in life, you tend to feel stronger and have better DNA than people who have maybe had abusive relationships that they've been in, or someone who humiliated them, or their family suffered great financial loss, or maybe somebody got very sick and, you know, they're operating from a little bit of a damaged DNA. So you just need to repair it and, you know, fix those strands and make them very strong so that you can have a great emotional DNA.
Right. So in repairing those, especially in terms of relationships, I read that you had said, you know, people who have maybe not bring out the best in you, maybe they're a little more toxic, you should be able to just release them and kind of move on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the hardest thing for people to do is to release a very old friend who's mm-hmm. toxic, or a family member who is toxic. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's family, you know, family's everything. And you watch The Godfather growing up, family, you know,
right.
And my motto is, I don't care who it is. If somebody is repeatedly doing things to you that are crippling you or damaging you or making you feel less than, or not allowing you to be your best self, just stay away from them. And it could be your own mother. You just stay away from those people.
Right. And you say you don't necessarily need to forgive them either. Correct. I mean,
correct. I don't believe in, you know, that you have to forgive people. I don't think that you need to harbor it inside of you. But, you know, how do you forgive somebody who does something so, so terrible and they continue to do things? You know, maybe you forgave them and then they just keep doing the same thing. So my motto is not forgive and forget. It's just forget.
I like that one.
That's a good one. Well, let me ask you about this, because I've dealt with this in my life, and I think a lot of people have this idea of self-talk. And in certain areas of my life, I've turned it around. In my career, you know, well, you can't do this, and I've turned that around to a positive way. There are other parts of my life where, you know, that internal voice is still yakking away. So I guess my question to you, what role does self-talk play in all of this? And this could go from anything from relationships to spirituality.
It's tremendous. It plays a tremendous role. And when that self-talk starts going, especially when it's the middle of the night and you wake up and you start thinking about everything that you're worried about, you need to just turn it off and start telling yourself something different. And that's when the fake it till you make it theory really applies, because maybe you need to just write down what you wish somebody would say to you, or write down what you wish could be happening, and say that to yourself in the mirror, and just keep saying it to yourself until you start to believe it, and turn that nasty self-talk off and turn on the good self-talk.
Right. So being positive, it's more about having this positive attitude daily.
Daily. And, you know, it's a balancing act. You have stuff being thrown at you. You have bills that are being thrown at you, responsibilities that are being thrown at you, nasty people that you have to deal with at maybe a school your child goes to, or, you know, somebody else's just bad mood who's at the supermarket when you check out. There's all kind of things that are just coming at you all the time. And it's just, you know, do you ever see those people? They're just always calm. Nothing really seems to rattle them.
Right?
Ever.
Yeah.
We are not.
I am not. I am not that.
How the heck do you do that? But they just choose. You know, it's going to happen whether you act like in hysterical manners, or it's going to happen whether you are calm and just deal with it. So why stress yourself out? Just try to focus on the positive. And when you catch yourself getting into that hysteria and that mania, you just take a minute. You know, we all fall down and get back up, dust yourself off, and just go, all right, I'm going to chill out and I'm going to deal with this. And I'm going to deal with it as positively as I can.
You talked about the idea of the law of attraction in your section about spirituality. And that's something that's always fascinated me. And here's my philosophy. And you tell me if you think I'm all wet. Now, some people, I think, believe, oh, if I, you know, I concentrate hard enough, I can manifest the Mercedes in the driveway. I kind of disagree with that. I think that you can manifest a nice car in your driveway if you work hard and have a positive outlook and you visualize good things happening, that it's kind of like a cocktail of hard work, good thoughts, good visualization, positive energy, you combine it. If you take any of those parts out, like hard work, for example, you ain't going to get the Mercedes. That's kind of the way I've always thought about it. What do you say?
I 100% concur. I think if we take 100 people in a room and 50 of them do something about their predicament and 50 of them just sit there and really focus on getting a Mercedes, I bet you that the other 50 are probably going to get the Mercedes over the 50 just sitting there meditating really hard.
Right.
But the thing is if you don't have the visualization and the manifestation of really being positive and thinking about what you want, it's very difficult. You could be a very motivated person. You could work very hard, but if you don't even have an idea of what it is that you want and you can't see it in your mind, it just makes it so much more difficult to achieve it. But if you start to really focus on what it is that you want, somehow, some way, if you're going to do the work, you know, you're going to put the work in, obviously, it just starts to click together. When you know where you want to go, you have a much, much higher percentage chance of getting there versus having no idea where you want to go, right?
True. No. I mean, like, what do you say to those real negative Nellies? And I mean, I've had a few in my life in terms of, you know, finances. I know that's one of our quadrants, you know, how I can't get out of this hole. I'm never going to be able to get out of this hole. I'm stuck in this dead end job. You know, it's never going to change. What would you say to them? What can they do?
I am all about personal responsibility. And I think right. If it's any person that's in a Western culture that, you know, I just want to give them a little shoulder shake, you know, shake them out of it, because
yep.
There's,
amen.
Yes.
You
know,
the first question I might ask them is, how much time did you spend on social media this week? How many TV shows did you
yeah,
watch?
True.
So if you took those 25 hours and you started having a part-time job or started thinking about ways that you could earn some money to get out of the situation that you're in or train yourself for a better career instead of just sitting there and absorbing entertainment, where do you think you'd be? And then you kind of map it out and show them. And, you know, it just comes back to personal responsibility. Do you want to get out of the situation? You're in Western civilization and you're not in a refugee camp. There, all the possibilities are there for you. And with no money down, you can get on the internet and start learning what you need to learn.
Oh, for sure.
To get into a new position, a new career. So, you know, you have to be willing. I think that something that's very different from when I first grew up in the 70s and now is this idea that everyone else is responsible for your success, and people don't really have as much personal responsibility, I think, as they used to. And so that's really something I try to ingrain in all of the interns that come into my office who are in their 20s. Like, look, this is all up to you.
That's true.
You know, your parents got you to where you are. They paid for your degree. you know, you're driving your nice little car, you have your cute little clothes, and now it's up to you. And they go out of here being very successful when they get that message drilled into their head.
Can I get an amen, somebody?
Yes, woo!
I love it.
Preach.
I love it. Now, but the thing is that I did a show for a while. I think we did about 30 episodes. It was called Living Beyond Challenges. And it was with people who had some kind of physical challenge.
Right.
But, and I got to say, now in that case, you know, I'm a pretty much a go-getter. But in that case, you know, I might be down in the dumps and I might say, oh, forget about it. If something like that happened to me. There was one gentleman, he was paralyzed. He could move, I think he could move 3 fingers on one hand. And what he did is he created these beautiful digital works of art that looked like they were painted.
Wow.
He did with 3 fingers, I think, on his left hand. And he's shown at galleries and so forth. He's a full-time professional artist.
And
I think
there you have it.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, anytime I start feeling down in the dumps, oh, Jim, the world's against you. And so-and-so has so much more money than you. And you're up against with these podcasts, these big companies. It's like, think about that guy in the wheelchair with the 3 fingers who is doing world-class work. And then,
that's right.
Then get back to me.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, let's not have a bit, like, you can have a pity party for a few minutes and then you need a man up. Put your big girl panties on.
Right.
You know?
I will not.
Your shirt. No, I'm just joking.
So now the other thing that you talk about, relationships, financials, and then wellness. Now, as I kind of indicated there, it helps if you're healthy and you're well, and God forbid things happen to us that, you know, you could have somebody who's a triathlete and they have some horrible disease befall them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this is personal responsibility and how you choose to live your life, what you decide to consume, if you decide to exercise and so forth. Why do you feel that wellness is such a crucial issue? I think I know, but why do you think it's such a crucial issue for this quadrant?
I think it probably goes back to my own emotional DNA, where I was told ever since I was a kid, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And if you look at a guy like Steve Jobs, when he got sick and he left the planet, I mean, the guy had everything and he didn't have his health. It was just gone.
Right.
And if you don't get enough sleep and you don't feel well, you just can't perform in any of those other areas. You can't be of service to your community. You can't be of service to the projects that you're working on or the people you're working with, and you're just tired and you're dragging and you just don't feel well, and you don't give your family everything or your friendships and relationships everything that you can either. And you just feel crappy all the time. So I think, you know, it's, you know, common sense that you would want to feel well. And I think, again, this is really a matter. I'm not saying that things don't happen to people and diseases don't happen, but a lot of people, including my mom, when things happen to them, it's really how they choose to react. My mom found out she had breast cancer, and so she started to prepare. She started to prepare physically, emotionally, financially, and it made her feel like she had a level of control in an uncontrollable situation, and it ultimately helped her to cure, you know, to be in a state where she was cured. And I think versus somebody who's just like their mental state just goes completely haywire and they start getting really chaotic and they feel so out of control and they don't think about the positive things and the control that they do have, they tend to stay more ill. So, you know, all just, it's how do you want to perceive this thing? How do you want to look at it? And how do you want to deal with your challenges? Like the person who has 3 fingers and decides to create art.
Right. I mean, I truly believe that. It's how you look at it. I've been ill a lot in the past. I've had thyroid cancer, but when I was diagnosed, the first thing I did was, okay, I'm going to find out everything I can about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to arm myself with knowledge because knowledge is power. And that made me more in control so that when I did go on my doctor appointments and I could speak to my physicians, I knew what they were talking about. I can go at an even deeper level than maybe the, you know, the common person would go with them. And I just felt like then I'm more in control of my treatment. I'm more in control of how we're going to, you know, keep going on this journey, if I'm going to beat this or I'm not going to beat it.
And you switched doctors.
I did.
You switched doctors and medical systems, and thank goodness that you did.
Because I come from the point that, you know, medicine, yes, they help people, but it's also a business. And the bottom line is it's a business. And just like any other business, if I don't get good service, I'm not staying there. So I'm going to go shop around until I get the service that I think, you know, I need. And that's what I did.
And in our prior generation, it was kind of the white coat syndrome. Oh, doctor.
They're God.
And I think you should respect physicians and medical people.
It's not about respect.
Saying that, but I think you should have a mind of your own and be an informed consumer.
Right. I mean, I didn't disrespect any. I wasn't trying to disrespect anybody. I was trying to get what I needed for my personal well-being.
Right.
Yeah, my control in the situation. And, you know, I didn't want to be a bystander in my care. I wanted to be an active participant.
You took control of the situation and you took responsibility. And ultimately, right, it really helped you feel probably a lot less stressed. When your body's in a less stressed situation,
true,
in a less stressed state, you can get healthy again. So, you know, you're nailing all the quadrants, girl.
There we go. Woo! I'm working on wellness now.
We're working on that one.
One.
I'm counting my calories. I've got my app out. I'm counting my calories.
I'm moving.
Move. All you gotta do is move.
It's true.
Whatever you want. Just move.
That's right.
The only problem is when I move and the donut goes into my mouth. That's the problem.
Don't move the donut in one hand.
Yeah, there you go.
Put down the donut, Jim.
That's right.
I will. You also talk about spirituality, and that's a tough one, I think, for some people because they think, oh, I'm not religious, and they equate religiosity with spirituality. What are your thoughts on spirituality?
Well, I cover a very broad spectrum of what I feel is being spiritual. And spirituality could be believing in something just bigger than yourself. And it doesn't have to be a religious dogma. It could just be there's a universal energy out there and the sun comes up and goes down every day without me doing anything. That's a pretty powerful thing. There are planets out there. There are communities out there. It could just be my connection with my own brain and how it's relating to all these other things around me. So it doesn't have to be, you know, the five major religions of the world. That's really not what I'm getting at all. In fact, I don't even talk about that. I'm just talking about your connection to something that's bigger and more important than your little small self.
I think that's a great message. Wrap up. I want to talk a little bit about relationships again, because this is soulmate stories. That's what we talk about. Do you need to be happy, have a soulmate? I mean, there may be people out there who don't have someone else in the romantic sense in their life. To me, that's okay. I mean, there's many different ways to live a life, or maybe somebody who hasn't found their quote soulmate yet. What are your thoughts on that? Maybe speaking to people who are still searching possibly.
Well, some people don't even want it. I visited a cosmetic doctor in Thailand when I was there last spring, and she and a big group of her girlfriends, I don't know what they're putting in the water there, but none of them have any intention or desire to hook up with the other sex. It's just a bunch of girls or guys that hang out together. They don't want to have sex with each other either. It's not a lesbian or bisexual or homosexual kind of thing. It's just they just are asexual and they have no desire to have those types of loving relationships, but they have very rich relationships with friends. Some people really have great relationships with animals and they love horses and they get that beautiful connection with their dogs. You know, the dog is man's best friend. So it doesn't have to be a love relationship, although I think most of us are hardwired to find that partner, that loving partner, that romantic partner. But as long as you have a relationship with another living being, maybe some people even like to be around their plants, you know, just if you just have this relationship where you're feeling like you're nurtured and you're heard and you're able to give in return, I think that's the thing. That's just this universal desire that everyone has. And when you don't have that, that's when big trouble begins. Unabomber, right?
Yeah. Now, one thing about that, I mean, to kind of practice this kind of quadrant life and get the most out of your life and have a great life, to me, it would be kind of hard if you have one, let's say you're talking about people who are married, one spouse who is practicing this and the other person who's resistant. So if you're a couple, it would probably make it easier to get this whole idea of quadrant life going if both people are practicing it to some extent, I would think.
Jim, are you saying something here?
No, I'm asking for a friend. No,
Absolutely. I think people need to have common goals, but do they have to have every single thing in common? I mean, I mentioned in the book, my husband loves guns and motor cars. I couldn't care less. I like yoga and massages, and he couldn't care less. So you don't have to have every single thing in common, but your general trajectory of the way you want to have your relationship and the journey that you want to take together has to kind of jive. And, you know, it's better, I think, really to be happy and kind than to be right. And if you just remember those things, and you are on the same journey as someone else, or, you know, a coordinating journey, you know, a cohesive journey with somebody else, then things are chill and you're doing the right thing.
Well, this has been so much fun. I've really enjoyed this. And I think it reinforces some things that we talk about all the time, and plus adding in some more things for us to think about. So we need to get to work.
Yes. No, I'm halfway well, there. You might need to get to work now.
Yeah, you guys sound like you're well on your way. And, you know, it's just a practice every day. So
it is.
Lori, where can people find more about your work? I know the book is pretty much available everywhere good books are sold, online and off. But where can they find more information about Lori Dennis?
If they'd like to come read our weekly blog where we talk about a lot of these things, or even just get in touch personally, they can find me at loridennis.com.
The book is Quadrant Life, Balancing Relationships, Finances, Wellness, and Your Spiritual Life. Our guest has been Lori Dennis. Lori, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
100%. My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Hey, that was cool. She was a neat person.
I kind of meld with her ideas and her thoughts about things. And as I was reading the book, I was like, yes. And I used to not be that way either, because I used to be I felt very negative. You always said I was very negative.
You were a little negative, yes.
Yeah. I think
we've
kind of
improved.
Flipped a little. I'm trying to improve. I mean, like she said, you have to consciously think about this every day. You really do.
And I don't want to give the idea that I'm perfect, because sometimes I get negative.
When you get negative.
But
it's bad.
I think overall,
but I think
I try
everybody,
to be positive.
I think everyone does that. I mean, the problem is, do you choose to stay like that?
That's right.
Or do you try to do something, like she said, personal responsibility, to get out of that? And it is difficult, and it's conscious, and you have to really, you know, there are days you really have to say, okay, that's it. This is not happening. I'm going to be happy.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Sick and tired. Yeah,
that's true.
It's true.
No, she was great. I really enjoyed that. I hope you guys are enjoying the interviews. And let us know. Like we said at the beginning of the show, we've not heard a lot. So whether it be on Facebook or email or whatever it might be. And we're going to be very shortly. We've been working on it. We got to hit. It's actually up now, but we've got to tweak
it a little
bit.
Fine-tune it a little.
A Soulmate Stories Facebook group, where we can exchange ideas and thoughts on the topics we cover on the shows. And then also, as we said, we may start integrating some stories that you send in and just kind of reading them. So that'll be kind of fun. We have yet to establish that, so stay tuned for that. But I would ask, Dar, that everybody rate, review, subscribe or follow, depending on where they're listening, because we want to see some forward progress
and
with
share.
This thing.
Definitely share with your friends. We talked about this before, especially about the last few interviews we've done. If that is a topic that you think somebody might enjoy, you know, hearing about, let them know.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a great show. A lot of fun. I really am enjoying these interviews. You're a good interviewer there.
Oh, I didn't think so, but thank you.
You're like the...
Well, I'm learning from the best over here.
Well, what can I say?
But regardless, what can you say?
What can't I say?
There you go.
Well, I really appreciate you tuning in to Soulmate Stories and sticking with us. Let us know what you think. We'll talk to you next time. And we hope you have a great week. And we'll talk to you next time on
Soulmate Stories.